Hello, and welcome to the Way Family Podcast. I am your host, Zach.
And I am also your host, Hannah.
She's my wife. We're married, and we have not been doing this podcast for a long time.
But we're back.
That's about to change.
Yep.
Today, Forrest is here too. Yep. He wants to have his presence made known. So, Forrest, do you have to announce yourself?
Say hi.
Hi.
Today what we're going to be talking about is developing a rule of life, what has happened to us since we stopped doing the podcast, and the changes that have been going on. And that's about it. So it's been, I think, since February.
February, wow.
That we recorded the last episode, and that I think the last one was from our trip to Kauai.
Oh, yeah.
We took a break. We did two episodes on having a miscarriage, and then Kauai, and then now here we are.
Mm-hmm. So much has changed.
Yes, so much has happened. But basically what we're going to do is catch you guys up to speed on our lives and talk about some of the things that we've been learning and some of the areas that we've grown in. And, oh, look who decided to join us. We have Finley here. So, oh.
Just sitting in a little bouncer.
Well, I guess that's one new thing.
Yep, we had a baby in August. Finley Marigold is her name. She's very sweet.
She was born on August 8th. She was 8 pounds, 6
nope.
ounces.
6 pounds.
25
nope.
centimeters long.
No, that's minuscule. No, she was 6.5 pounds, I think 19.
Was it 6 pounds, 8 ounces?
It was 6 pounds, 6 pounds, 9 ounces.
Okay.
And, yeah, 20-ish inches. I don't know. The inches never matter to me, but she was tiny, and she's still pretty tiny, but she's very cute.
I just don't understand why that's a thing that, like, people want to know. Like,
yeah. Well, it's more like, wow, look at what you did. Or, you know, to see,
or,
like, wow,
oh,
it's a ginormous
baby. Oh, wow,
baby.
That was easy. I bet it just crawled out.
Yeah. Well, she kind of did. She kind of just was like, yeah. I mean, not that it was easy, but... so she was born in August. So we have 3 kids now, and that's pretty crazy.
3 kids, yep. And a dog.
Yeah.
Who is also
puppy.
Here with us.
Oh, that also happened. Charlie turned 1 a couple weeks ago, and then...
Forrest turned 5.
Forrest
turned 2.
Fernie turned 2. And then yesterday was the 1-year anniversary of getting Charlie. So that was fun.
Yeah.
Charlie's our dog.
All the kids are Fs. The dog is a golden doodle, and his name is Charlie Brown.
Charlie Brown Way.
Yes. So I guess let's start with Finley being born. Well, let's go back a little bit before that. You did not tell me that you were pregnant for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not a while. It was just a couple weeks. But that's still a long time to not tell you something.
Yeah.
Because with the other ones, I was like, I told you instantly because I was freaking out. But, I didn't tell him for a little while. Because I was kind of freaking out. And also, I don't know, I was having lots of feelings about it. But I wanted him to have his own reaction. And... like, if this was going to be our last baby, then I wanted to, you know, tell him in a nice way. Because it was like, I was planning on it probably being our last baby that I was going to have, at least. So, took me a little while to tell him, but yeah. And then I told him, and then we were excited.
Yeah. We I guess, also decided somewhere... since February that we only wanted to have 3 kids.
Well, we kind of thought that, but then we were like, after I had her, I really was like, yeah, I really feel very strongly that that's it from That's all the babies coming out of my body. So, and with postpartum is just really hard, and emotionally it's really hard on everyone, but I just don't really want to go through that again. But we are, ouch.
She's like, but it's worth it, right? Yeah. I'm cute. Look at me.
You are cute. but we do want to like foster or adopt someday. So it's not like we're not having any more kids ever. We just are going to be done making them. So that's kind of a big deal.
We are done growing them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really want to be a foster parent someday. But right now we've got 3 kids and that is enough for us. And
for now, yeah.
We've had this conversation a few times about the number of children and are you, I guess, being responsible with the amount of children that you want to have and with what your purpose of parenting is. do you want to get her?
No, I just had to do it close to the microphone.
So for a while we didn't really have a clearly defined purpose of parenting, and I think that that's normal for a lot of people to not really know like why they want to be parents other than having kids and like creating their own family and what the purpose of raising their kids is and what the desired outcome is and all of that. And I just started thinking about that and realized that you can get more love and you can get more grace. And I think I've said this before, but you're not going to get more time. And I'm sure we all feel like we don't have enough time to do the things that we want to do and the things that we think are important. And I'm already seeing that, like, my time kind of slip away with 3 kids, not to be selfish with my time, but just that I can only invest so much time, and with each added kid, it's dividing my time again, you know?
Yeah. And this isn't to say that, like, if you have more than 3 kids, then you don't have enough time for them, because I think it's different for everybody. But that's like my biggest struggle. And like, well, one of my biggest struggles is like not being able to do everything for all of them at once, because they all need different things from me. And like, obviously the baby requires a lot more of me right now, but like having to tend to her needs and not being able to, like, the other two are left to do their own thing some of the time. Well, a lot of the time, because babies require a lot of work. And I don't know, that's really difficult. And it's hard to, I don't know. And the thing is, not that I would want to spend every single waking minute with them, because that's not the case either. It's difficult. And little kids are crazy. And sometimes they drain your energy. Well, every day. But just that feeling of like, I'm not giving enough, or I'm not doing enough. I can't be in 2 places at once. That's been very difficult for me. So,
and you're a 4. So in stress, you go to a
2,
which is, I'm 8. And in like strength,
health,
whatever, I go to a 2. So that's kind of interesting. When you're like unhealthy, you tend to stress out more about making sure that everyone else's needs are met.
Yeah.
So, and when everyone's needs aren't met, it actually makes you more stressed. So then you're like,
and that just makes me a little bit worse at everything.
Yeah.
I'm also noticing how much like Finley can pick up on my stress. It's very interesting because I never really noticed it with the other two. Okay. But I'm really noticing it this time. Like, it's not just a like, oh, I'm stressed kind of a thing. It's like a physical like reaction. Like, your body gets stressed, and I don't know. That's a new thing this time around. She is very talkative. It was her bedtime a while ago, and she was wide awake and smiling at me. So we put her in the bouncer and let her stay in here with us. But
so what's new? What's new with you?
Wasn't that what we were just talking about?
No, just in general. Not like parenting stuff. Just what's new with you?
Not really anything. I don't think so. Nope. It's just about Christmas. So we're being really choosy with our Christmas gifts this year. With what we're getting for people. And we're planning it out ahead of time. And we're especially trying to be intentional with what we get our kids. Because we get rid of toys. Like, we don't throw them away. We, like, donate them. But we get rid of toys so often because they have so many, and then it's like they can't really play with anything because they're so overwhelmed at all the choices. And so we are trying to be very intentional this year. Don't want it to just be like a whole bunch of toys that get played with a couple of times before they're, you know, done with them. So,
yeah. So we're getting 4 categories of presents for each of the kids, and then trying to focus mainly on experience or something that is very thoughtful and purposeful and intentional, or that fulfills a need for other people, not just our kids.
Mm-hmm.
So the 4 categories that we're gifting are
want, need, wear, read.
Yes, thank you.
It's like a common thing. We didn't come up with it. It's a common, like, thing that people do.
Yeah. And so we're also focusing on experiences because Hannah and I had this talk earlier, I don't know, maybe a month or two ago, about experience giving and how I think both of us would much rather get an experience than some random thing that.
Yeah, this was a couple weeks ago on our walk. I was just thinking about because with all of our both sides of our families in the past couple years, we've drawn names because there's just a lot of people and it's difficult for people to buy gifts for everyone, you know. So we've drawn names. We have drawn names.
We have drawn names. Yes.
And so everyone gets one person to give for, and then we all just started sending each other our Amazon wish lists, and then it was just like, okay, I'm just running an errand for you. You know, I don't know. It just began to feel very impersonal to me. And so we were talking about this, and how it's like, it's just become like an obligation, and I really don't want anyone to feel obligated to get me anything, but if they get me something, I want it to be because they wanted to give it to me, you know, not like, oh, I have to get her something, so let me go check out her Amazon wish list. No, like I want it to be like, oh, I thought of you when I saw this, or, you know, something like that. And it's not even like, if you didn't think of anything, if you didn't think of me when you saw anything, then that's okay. Just don't give me anything. And I will not be sad. You know what I mean? It will, like, that is okay with me. So we were talking about that and how it's just become very like,
obligatory.
Yeah, that word. Obligatory.
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 Obligating orientation.
Yeah, so.
So, yeah. So that's, and today's Small Business Saturday. I got through Black Friday without spending any money or doing any shopping, but I don't think that you did.
No, I didn't. I got some stuff, like oil stuff, because there was a big sale on all of that. And then I got, that's all that I got. Oh, I think I got one other thing for a gift, but yeah, it's not as big as it was before.
Well, congratulations. I think that we've talked about this before in the past, but it just seems so apparent this year is that November, the entire month is like extremely consumeristic and my emails always flooded. It was no longer like Black Friday. I think this was the first year where it was like Black November.
Yeah,
like,
it was.
All November.
Well, I think that I kind of like that because it takes away the rush of like, oh no, I need to buy something right now. And that, like, when things are like that, then it ups the chance of buying something you really don't need or want. So when they say like, hey, our sale is going to be going from Monday to Monday, or it's going to be going from Wednesday all the way until December 1st or whatever, like not just like Black Friday only, then it gives people the chance to plan a little bit more. So I understand why they're doing that, but I'm with you on the emails because my inbox was out of control and I had unsubscribed from a whole bunch of things.
Oh my gosh. This is probably the most that Finley has ever talked.
Yeah, she hears us talking. I had unsubscribed from so many of those emails, but I still had like a million in my inbox, like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and today.
Yeah.
And I don't think I saw this before. I saw this on Instagram. Someone had posted this that was a small business. They said, like, you might think that like Black Friday is so consumeristic and like don't buy anything on Black Friday and opt outside and all that, which all of that is fine. But there's small businesses who plan like all year for this month for like the holiday season. And like they're working really hard or something like that. And it just kind of put it into perspective for me because like we're going to like buy things. That's like, I mean, that's just our culture. Like we're going to buy things and especially for Christmas gifts and stuff like that. But we can make better decisions of like who we're supporting and what we're buying and being really intentional in what companies we're buying from and like going with companies that align with our values and our good quality and, you know, all that. So I just found that to be really interesting because I'm often either all or nothing, like don't buy anything ever. But then there's a whole group of people that you're just kind of like shutting out, like those people who have their small businesses and who work really hard. Oh my gosh. So I agree with you, but I also see the other side.
Yeah. Well, I'm all for supporting small businesses. I know how difficult it is and for them to exist and to continue to make profit when they're competing against companies like
Amazon.
I mean, like Amazon will put Best Buy out of business eventually.
They'll put so many people out of business.
Best Buy is pretty much just like where people go to test things out before they buy it on
That's
Amazon.
That's true. That's what you use Best Buy for.
Well, guilty as charged. I don't even think there's a documentary coming out on, or there was something in the news. I saved it. I forgot where it was, but it was about the working conditions of Amazon employees in the warehouses.
Yes.
And,
I saw that too.
And if you know anything about Amazon, it's like, it's so awesome that you can get, you know, for Prime, if you have Prime, you can get packages in 2 days. And the price, you can get everything that you could possibly ever need on Amazon and have it in your door in 2 days and have it cheaper than any of the stores in your area and not have to
go anywhere. Yeah.
But that comes at a price, and a lot of times we're not aware of that price. And so that is definitely something that I would say go and support a small business, because if you don't, they won't be around.
Yeah.
And you're just going to have Jeff Bezos take over the world.
It's hard because it is like Amazon is so fast and easy. And like, I guess you don't even think about that. Because I've been trying to do, like, you know, mostly ethical clothing shopping for the last, like, year and a couple months. I've been trying to just do, like, slow fashion clothing. But that, like, kind of ideology can also go for... She is growling. For other things,
she's not,
too.
Okay, Finley is not mad. She's... No. Just trying to communicate with us.
She's just making noise and trying to eat her hands. But that ideology of like supporting slow fashion can also go into other areas of life. And obviously not everybody is at that point in life, you know, like we're not. We still use Amazon because it's so easy. And sometimes we need stuff from there. And I don't know. But just I think knowing that and knowing everything about Amazon that we do about how their workers are treated, about how they're kind of screwing over the postal service, how what's his butt is like what the richest man ever to exist or something. I think just knowing that and trying to seek out better options is good. I got a message from someone that said, like, I was sharing something about, I don't know, I was sharing something on my Instagram stories, and I said, you can find this on Amazon. And I got a message from someone that said, don't support, or she said something like, please don't support Amazon. Like, it wasn't specifically kind message. It was kind of a disgusted message. And I did get defensive at first. I didn't respond because I had gotten defensive at first. So, but then I thought about it more and I was like, that's true. There is definitely other things that I could be supporting with this, and Amazon is just convenient, and that's...
Well, and convenience kills.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, McDonald's is convenient.
Yep. I mean, Amazon is the McDonald's of online shopping.
Yeah.
Pretty much is.
All right, so what else has changed?
Why don't you talk about what you're doing in a couple days.
Couple days.
Oh, gosh.
I am doing a Spartan race in a couple days, yep, on December
7th. 1 week from today. Well, yeah, 1 week from Saturday.
Yeah, so tomorrow's December 1st, Sunday. Oh, that's, I guess, something else new. Well, maybe we talked about that, but Sabbath, we've been more intentional in practicing that, but we'll get back to that later. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a Spartan race. Yeah, I'm doing a Spartan race. It was a... Spur of the moment decision probably about 2 weeks ago.
Yep. But he roped his friend, well, our friend Xavier, into it too. So they're doing it together. And he's been running every single day and training for it, eating healthy.
Yeah, I've been eating healthy, running every day at 6 o'clock. So I started waking up at 5:30. I think I started that last year.
I don't know. It was the beginning of this year.
Okay. So, yeah, I think I started maybe in January. I don't know.
I think it was after we got back from Kauai, maybe. I don't know.
I started waking up at 5:30 and doing kind of my morning ritual. So I would stretch. I would listen to the daily audio Bible. I would light a candle. Sit down and just have some quiet time and then go for a like 2 mile walk with Charlie. So I quit smoking about 5 months ago, and then I started to get more interested in like training, like for endurance. And because I was noticing that it was affecting my lungs and my endurance and things like that. So, and it's just not good for you. So I finally quit. It was like,
it was a grumpy couple of months. I will say that.
it
was right before Finley was born.
On edge.
Yeah, it was hard.
I actually think that my brain rewired itself because it was like, oh, well, you don't need to calm down on your own because you will just have a cigarette later. So I am going to stop producing whatever chemical that is. Or, yeah, I don't know.
I think that is what happens with addiction, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, neurons that fire together wire together, or whatever.
What? Is that a thing?
That is a thing.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, the more the synapses like make connections, it becomes a like neural pathway and a highway, and so it's actually like the amount of pleasure that you get from smoking, it is the highest right before you actually take your first puff.
Oh yeah, that's like with people who are addicted to shopping. If you like add everything into your cart, apparently it's like the same thing.
Yep, same thing with gambling. You don't even have to gamble. You just have to have the intention of gambling. and you go right up to the moment, and then your brain is like, oh, okay, we are happy. This is exciting.
Okay, I will say that I mean, with the shopping thing, I really was like shopping addict for sure. Like probably 2 years ago.
And an emotional shopper.
Yeah, for sure. But even like in the last, I don't know, 6 months, I've noticed that I'm so much better at like, even if I put something in my cart, I am so much better about sitting and thinking about it. But I think that is like, putting it in your cart is like, I don't know. I think it is, you're allowing yourself that fix, I guess. But I mean, tried to be intentional with it. But anyways, back to your smoking story.
Yeah, so I quit. And I wanted to start getting healthy. All of my like health goals for 2019 were based on numbers. So it wasn't really like, it wasn't habit-based. I read this book called Atomic Habits by James Clear, and it was talking about how habits have to be connected to identity transformation. And so basically what I was thinking is I need to be more disciplined. I want to be more disciplined, and I also want the physical benefits of someone who is physically disciplined. So I'm going to quit smoking because I don't need to be reliant on that anymore. And I'm going to start running because I hate running, but I know that it's good for me. And so I started running. I signed up for the Spartan Race. I'm actually pretty excited about it, but yeah, that's what's new for me. And I'm about to climb a V7, which I'm very excited about.
Wait, haven't you done a V7?
I think I've done like 3.
Still a big deal.
I don't know. I'll have to check. But yeah, so I'm excited about that. I have been running. I have been eating healthy.
And sometimes he takes Fern in the morning, and she always says, "Run with you," because she goes in the stroller. Obviously, she doesn't run
with him. I will say I also quit coffee because coffee was a trigger for me for smoking, and I also just don't need that much caffeine, and it doesn't really have any health benefits.
Caffeine, yeah. There's nothing healthy about coffee. It is a comfort thing and a social thing. That's what I've narrowed it down to. Like when I feel the need to get out of the house and go to Starbucks, it's because I need to get out of the house. It's not because I want Starbucks or especially like Starbucks. It's because I need to get out of the house from whatever my situation is at home, which is usually crazy down. I did a no Starbucks November, and besides Saturdays when I leave the house for 2 hours to work, and I go to Starbucks because that's the only coffee shop our town has. Besides that, I did not go through the Starbucks drive-thru at all, except for once. But I was literally going almost every day. So that's like a huge win for me. It always happens after every kid. Like, I remember when Forrest was like, I don't know, like 6, 8 months old. I remember leaving our condo and going to Starbucks just so I could get out of the house and go somewhere because I felt like I was going crazy. And it took me, you know, a period of time to get used to not going to Starbucks as often. And then with Fernie, same thing. And we had roommates with Fern when I had Fern. So it was like even crazier at our house. But after every kid, it just takes me a little while to get used to not going every day. Because in that newborn stage, you're like dead tired, but you have to be alive because you have other kids or whatever. It just felt like a necessity, even though it wasn't. It just felt like survival. So,
well, that is what an addiction is.
I think, but it was more like the getting out of the house and like the ease of having someone else make something for me. It wasn't even like it was definitely a coffee addiction, but it wasn't like a Starbucks addiction. Just like, I need to leave the house. Mm-hmm. But that's all we have here. So maybe someday we'll get a good coffee shop in our town.
So let's see. We just got back from a date. We've had 4 dates now since Finley is born.
No, we've had 2. This is the second one. Where else did we go? We went to the Italian restaurant.
I thought the last time was our 3rd one, and this was our 4th one.
What was the last time?
I don't know.
No, this is our second date.
Oh, our second date.
Yeah.
I stand corrected.
Oh, wait, we walked to Starbucks that one time.
Okay.
Anyways,
third date.
Third date since having a baby.
You have a very good memory.
4 months ago. Well, I would know if there was like another time where we got to leave our kids. That would stand out of my memory for sure.
So we just got back from a date, and we what did we do?
We went to a restaurant for dinner. We went early. It was like 4:30. There were other people there, but old people. And we had beer and burgers, and Finley came with us. It was awesome. It was so fun. And then I was a little bit tipsy, so we went to Starbucks, but we did not stay there very long because we were trying to do our Christmas Spotify playlist that we do every year.
Yeah, so it is now Christmas season officially, and we are putting together our 2019 Christmas playlist.
So if you have any suggestions of like your favorite Christmas song done by like whatever artist it is, then send them to us, because we are very picky about what we're putting on our thing, but we need more ideas. So
yeah. We're going to get into recommendations in a little bit, but I just wanted to bring up something that we are doing tomorrow. We're doing our first ever attempt at writing out a rule of life for our family. And this is kind of based on a sermon from Bridgetown Church. John Mark he just wrote a book called The
Ruthless
Elimination of Hurry. And him and Jeff Blesky, I think I'm saying
Bethke.
Okay. Like I said, I think I'm saying his name wrong, but I did say his name wrong. he wrote a book called To Hell with the Hustle. They did a podcast together, John Mark and Jeff. What's his last name?
Bethke.
And it's been really good, but I like the Bridgetown podcast, like the podcast more. I wouldn't really say that they're sermons. They're kind of more like, I don't know, what would you...
It is more of a podcast, yeah. But is that what he... That's like a sermon, isn't it, for his church? Or it's just like...
That's their Sunday morning message.
Well, it's the Sunday night. Because okay. He always says nighttime. But yeah, it doesn't really seem like a sermon.
Yeah. I shared it with someone that I work with, and he's like, this was really weird. It was not a sermon. It was not bad, but it was just not like, it was just not what he was expecting. Anyways, John Mark talks about a rule of life, which is actually a pretty ancient practice for Christians to write out some sort of a rule for their life. And so, my gosh, Finley. So we will be writing that out tomorrow. And Hannah is leaving me now. So I will just, we'll come back. We'll come back after this brief pause. And we're back a day later. So what we were going to talk about was writing out a rule of life, and it is now Sunday, so that is the day that we practice Sabbath. We went to church today, and we did something fun on the way home.
We stopped at a market for lunch.
Forrest had, we had been there one time before, We went to the beach, and then we stopped at this marketplace and got him mini corn dogs.
And it was very memorable for him, apparently, because he asked if we could do it today on the way home. And so we did. We just got food from their, like, prepared food section. And we sat at the grocery store and in their little lunch area and ate it. And it was really fun. And it went pretty well.
Yeah. We also are picking up our Christmas tree today. But, yeah, that's kind of beside the point. Back to the rule of life. What we were going to do today, I'm not sure if we're going to have time for it, but maybe we'll work on it a little bit, is write out rule of life. And he kind of explains that a rule of life is like a trellis or something that you build on, something that you can, that supports the weight of your life. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Wait. We're not going to read that thing.
Oh, do you want to read that thing?
Yeah. Well, we recorded part of this last night where we read the section that he's explaining, but the thing kept cutting out, so.
All right. A rule of life is a schedule and a set of practices and relational rhythms that help us create space in our busy world for us to be with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and do what he did, to live life to the full in his kingdom and in alignment with our deepest passions and priorities.
While the word rule may strike you as a strict or binding constraint, the Latin word we translate rule from was originally the word for a trellis in a vineyard. In the same way a vine needs a trellis to lift it off the ground so it can bear the maximum amount of fruit and keep free of predators and diseases, we need a rule as a kind of support structure to organize our life around abiding in the vine as Jesus imagined. My breath. It's been said that we achieve inner peace when our schedule is aligned with our values. A rule of life is simply a tool to that end. Rather than a rigid, legalistic to-do list, it's a life-giving structure for freedom, growth, and joy. From practicingtheway.org.
Yeah, so all of the Bridgetown Church stuff, they have a practice that they do each week in their community groups, and you can find all of those on practicingtheway.org, which I really like. This is actually from their workbook on how to write a rule of life. And I have been thinking about this for a while, and I'm excited to start doing it. So one thing that we're going to include in our rule of life is a like a digital rule of life. I keep saying rule very oddly. Rule.
These microphones are like too good. Like awkward good.
So what were some of the rules that we wanted to implement, or some of the things that we wanted to implement around technology?
Well, okay, first of all, just a side note off of that, it helps a lot to hear examples of rule of life, like what other people incorporate.
Mm-hmm.
Because I kind of didn't really know I don't even know what to begin with for that, but it helped a lot to hear other people's examples. So we don't have anything solid yet, but we kind of took a little bit of the examples that were given. And so we want to have on Sabbath, we want to have no devices. We want to have our phones and like all iPads, everything in like a box somewhere, and we're not going to use them for that whole day. Unless we're going to watch a movie all together as a family. Zach wants to have our phones charging not in our bedroom at night. So we keep like our room just as like a place of relaxing, not a place of like being on our phones.
Yeah.
What else?
For technology, some of the examples was don't make TV the center place of your family room.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the thing that you value most is TV, then you should structure your family room in such a way that it fosters communication and coziness.
Yes, always coziness.
Yeah, some other rules is like parent your phone, which just means it goes to bed before you do and you wake up before it does.
Which that doesn't not happen with kids. Kids wake up at the butt crack of dawn. But yeah.
I wake up before our kids.
Well, that's good. At least one of us is up. I think that's good too, because so often it's like the last thing I'm doing before I like turn over and go to sleep at night. And
normally the first thing.
No, not for me though. I don't, that not anymore. It was for a while the first thing that I do. You just check your phone, especially when I have like work stuff going on. It's really easy to check and then just get like thrown into work mode. But he said something on one of the podcasts about the last thing that you're thinking about before you go to sleep, how that affects, I don't know. Do you remember what it was?
Yeah, if the phone is, it typically the last thing that you think about before you go to sleep affects your sleep, right? Mm-hmm. And so if it's like comparison and you're scrolling down through everyone's feed and you're like, oh my gosh, I wish I had this, or I wish I was on vacation, or I wish my kids were this nice, or, you know, whatever, then that kind of puts you in a pretty bad mood to go to sleep, and that is what you're focusing on as you're going to sleep instead of what you're thankful for, what you're grateful for, how your day went, mm-hmm. or talking to the person who is right next to you, or, you know, whatever. And a lot of people, the first thing that they do in the morning is pick up their phone and read the news or check their email, which is like a terrible, terrible way to start your day.
Yeah. Because usually, like, if you're, I was thinking about it in, like, terms for myself, because all my work is on my phone, right? So if I'm waking up and instantly checking my phone and seeing what I need to see for work stuff, emails and messages and whatever, then I'm instantly throwing myself into work mode. Like, that's how I start my day, in, like, working mode, which for a little while there, it felt very productive because I was like, oh, I've already gotten this and this and this done, and I haven't even eaten breakfast yet. But then when I was listening to that podcast, it made a lot of sense, because you need to, like, you need to be intentional with the way you're starting your day, not just like glancing at your phone, seeing you have notifications and then checking them. And then all of a sudden you're like, what, 30 minutes deep into either social media scrolling or work or whatever, and you haven't even taken care of yourself for the morning. So, yeah, I had never really thought about that before until the way that he explained it on there was really good. So I highly recommend that. But another thing about that episode, about just technology in general, is, one thing that just really was convicting for me is that all we have, like at the end of our lives, all we have to show for our lives is what we gave our attention to. And it's, I mean, there's so many interesting things on our phones, you know, like it makes sense that we use our phones a lot, but in regards to human relationships, it's like damaging. And, I don't know. I just, that was really convicting for me, because the only thing we have to give people really is our attention, you know, like that is the highest commodity that we have. It used to just be time. But now you can be spending time with someone technically and they won't even have your attention. So, that was something really stuck out to me.
So we'll be writing kind of a digital rule of life, but we'll also have different categories. So what I was thinking is to break it up and kind of come up with an easy system to write it out, I'd like to divide it into categories and then subcategories. And then the general practice is to find a verse that aligns with your vision for that category or subcategory, and then write 4 to 8 commitments for that. So I'm thinking like relational would be a big category. And then under that, in the subcategories, there'd be parental, social, and marital. And so for each of those, I'd like to have some sort of commitment that's either weekly, monthly, quarterly, or annually. And so for marital, that'd be like a weekly date night, or daily spend 15 minutes a day, just us talking, no phones, no kids. Or maybe with parental, it'd be, I want to go on one special date a month with each kid, or something like that. So those would be the commitments in the categories. And I think that that would be a good way to break it up. And then you find a verse that kind of aligns with your vision for that category or subcategory. At least that makes sense to me. And I think that I could break it up into mainly three categories. One would be relating, one would be doing, and one would be being. So it'd be like the circle of being would be, if you remember the 12 areas of wellness that we went over maybe 2 years ago, the circle of being would be emotional, mental, intellectual, spiritual. The circle of relating would be marital, parental, social. The circle of doing would be vocational, advocational. I'd throw environmental in there too, I think. Or maybe that'd be in relating. But yeah. So all that to say is we're working through it. It's a little bit tricky, but I don't know. What do you think about it? You generally don't like rules and things like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Not that I don't like rules. I just don't like having everything scheduled out and like everything being so structured. That is a little bit stressful for me. Even though I know that it'll like eventually bring less stress, it's like the act of organizing and structuring my life is very stressful. It feels like I'm being boxed in. Like I feel a little claustrophobic. But I don't feel that way about this because it makes a lot of sense. And even with like things like our budget and, you know, our time scheduling and all that, having those guidelines, like there's a lot of freedom within those guidelines, and it almost makes for more freedom for the things that are most important.
Yeah, I would say that being disciplined with your schedule actually creates more freedom to be spontaneous.
Yeah, which doesn't really seem like that. And I don't, like, it doesn't seem like that before you do it. So I'm excited to do this. But it is a little bit daunting to think of, like, where to start.
We're trying a couple of different things, and our audio recorder just keeps shutting off. We haven't done this for a long time, so
it's out of practice.
Bear with us as we continue to ramble, have technical difficulties, and pronounce words very weirdly. What I was saying is we're getting into this and we're kind of trying to figure out how to best write a rule of life for our family. And I'm excited about the process of writing it.
Yep.
Do you have any recommendations before we go?
Dark chocolate almond butter cups from Trader Joe's. I dream about them.
Do you have that list of small businesses to support?
I posted it on my Instagram, and I have it in a highlight called Hands Faves. So I don't have it right now at the top of my head. But there's, yeah, go check that out because there's a lot of really great small businesses that I love to support and think that everybody should support if they want to.
Awesome. Well, I'm trying to think of anything that I would recommend. Oh, The Mandalorian is pretty good.
It's very medium.
It's very medium.
I'm really not impressed with it yet. Like, I think it has so much potential. I just, from what I've seen so far, it's just...
It's so suspenseful.
Yeah, it's suspenseful, and it's slow going so far. But, yeah, I mean, I can see it will be good.
I would also... There's been some books that I've been reading. Spartan Fit is pretty good. Atomic Habits by James Clear. I'm leading a book club on that right now. It's been really good. This is my second or third time reading it this year. And The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark. That was also really good.
I have another recommendation. The show Modern Love on Amazon Prime. It's based off of the Modern Love podcast, which they kind of just share like different love stories. But it's not just like romantic love. It's just like all sorts of love. Who is Forrest talking to out there?
I don't know who Forrest is talking
to. But they made a show based on some of those stories from the podcast. And it is so good. It is so well done. And like the stories are just so endearing. Every single one had me in tears. I really, really liked it. It's only like, I think, 4 or 5 episodes. But it is very good. And yeah.
Awesome. My last recommendation is stretching. Stretching. Doing that as the first thing when you wake up in the morning is just so nice. I always did not stretch, like, ever.
I always did not.
I never did ever. Never have I ever stretched.
Okay, there's a joke that we have every time we go to a restaurant. When Zach asks for the check, he always says it really weird. Like, one time he said...
It's not a joke. It's just Hannah making fun of me.
Because it's ridiculous. One time he said, "I will have check now, please." And then other times he said, "I don't know." Like, I can't think of exactly what it was, but it's just like he cannot for the life of him ask normally for the check. So we're always like, "Can I has check, please, now?" It's funny. You make fun of yourself, too.
It's 2019. You should ask for the check. You should pay. Equality.
Okay, I'll pay with our joint checking account.
Okay.
Hi, bud.
Oh, Forrest has come in to join us.
Come say hi.
Hi.
What are we going to do today? Talk in here.
What is it?
Where are we going to go today? To get our
Christmas tree.
And then what are we going to do with it?
We're going to decorate it.
And drink what?
And drink hot chocolate.
Yeah! Are you excited? Mm-hmm. Okay, we're almost done. Okay. Sure, but you have to be very quiet.
And Forrest has a recommendation, too. He just started playing this new game on the iPad that's super fun that his aunt got him into. What is that?
Come say it in here.
Mario Kart.
He loves it.
Loves it. Okay, I think we're good.
All right, guys.
That's
well,
the best game ever.
Well, you heard it here first.
We will try to get back to the podcast. As you can tell, it's a little difficult and crazy.
Slightly chaotic, but we're going with it.
We would like to start posting episodes on Mondays again. And we're going to try to make that work without going crazy. So
okay. Talk at you later.
See you next week.
Bye.